Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back. It's another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. We are getting close to Veterans Day, and one of our favorite days to remember people, we try to, whenever we see veterans, we try to thank them for their service. We don't have to wait for a Veterans Day. Don't wait for Veterans Day to tell the veterans that you appreciate them. But I think one of the things that you and I have appreciated about our veterans is not only their service, but I think for a lot of the leadership principles that we talk about, they live them, those leadership principles, out 24/7. And even after they're off active duty, you see those same principles still being lived out. And that's why we have such a high regard for them to watch their lives. So I thought today is, and we honor our veterans by, let's recount some of the leadership lessons that you and I have learned from watching some of our veterans.
Well, some are relatives, so it's really easy. Some are friends, acquaintances, but you can even watch someone like at a restaurant. You're like, I think he served in the war, particular, it doesn't matter. You're like, ooh, I might pick up his lunch. You know, someone's just, you know, trying to assimilate into society, which isn't easy after serving, particularly if it's active duty and you're somewhere where it's not safe. But I love what they sacrifice. You know, they left, this is kind of the joke about parachutes. You used a parachute jumping out of a perfectly operating well plane, and someone feels called to, you know, go for a big purpose. Yep. But I love the sacrifice, because I would say overall, most of us hesitate to sacrifice. Yes. Like, we got to know that it's going to pay us off right at the end. Like, right. I won't do this, but in the end, I hope I can do this twice. You don't have that guarantee in the military.
Right.
The veterans did not. They signed up and said, whatever happens, right, I'm going to do this. And I think sacrifice for me, Craig. How about you?
Yeah. Sacrifice is a big one. I think that probably the selflessness, where they say, it's not about me. It's about my unit. It's about, you know, the brothers and sisters in arms that are right around me. It's about, you know, and then they'll have these expanding circles. It's about my country. It's about my family. It's about, but you say, well, where are you in that list? That they don't list themselves in that list. They say, I'm sacrificing, you know, your word that you used, and I'm working for others. Yeah. And that's the reason I have a t-shirt. This one's got a nice message on the back. You guys can't see it on the front, but I'm kind of broadcast it to people that are standing behind me in line and stuff. But one t-shirt that I do have has on the front, it has the American flag, and it says, I stand for this flag because her heroes lie beneath it. And, you know, it's always mind-boggling for me that the people that is their selfless investment for the red, white, and blue. It's pretty admirable.
I don't think they could find another element, adventure, activity to come within 1,000% of serving.
Right.
And you wrote a book, you know, Shepherd Leadership, which is basically serving. Yes, you have to lead and take the bullet for people, but no pun intended, but you do have to serve. And yeah, sacrifice serving. I know when you do see a couple, you know, vets together, and maybe they served decades ago in a war long ago, the camaraderie is inspiring. They can talk the same language. They were in the same battalion or on the same sub.
Or maybe they weren't even.
And then they share stories and, oh my goodness, my battalion did that. I just think the camaraderie, it's hard today to kind of convince next generation as we lead multiple generations. You got to know them. And the camaraderie is getting to know the other person. I've said this to you before and many others where I love the locker room experience. That's kind of the, sure. you know, a mess hall and your the barracks and your that's your locker room in the military. And it's very difficult to represent that now when you're not in the military or playing sports. Sure. You're just working in a boardroom or an office. And I think that's one of the adjustments that a lot of the vets have said is just not the same.
Sure.
You know, there's something like, I'm with my brother, you know, like absolutely. we're going to go into danger. And it's hard to replicate that if you're, you know, working for a CPA firm or a law firm. It's like, right. what's the danger, you know? Right. What's another one you like about what vets have shown you, or one that maybe you'd think, oh, I'm not very good at that one, and they are really
well,
good.
I love the organization in their planning and in their drilling, because once it hits the fan, it's chaos. And yet they keep that, so they've drilled so much that organization stays with them, the chain of command, the what we need to do in this situation is all there. And I've seen in business organizations where it totally falls apart. Like, you think you've trained, like, have you trained your staff? Oh yeah, we have staff training. What does that look like? And then when you hear their training, you're like, that's not training. Yeah. That's just talking about something. And when something happens in your organization that, you know, it hits the fan, people fall apart. Well, who's doing what? How and nobody knows what to do. I love that about the military, to watch how that's so drilled into them, who reports to whom, who does what, how do you, if that person's not there, who the next person that steps up, what do they have to do?
Yep.
And even when it seems like a chaotic thing all around them, there's still an organization, there's still a way of operating in the middle of that chaos.
There's an analogy in sports, we'll get back to veterans because they rock. Taking a college game or a NFL game for football, it's very difficult to practice against chaos. Mm. It's very difficult to practice against a breakdown of a play.
Sure.
And yet, that's what the military does.
Yep.
You know, ours is, the left tackle missed a block, and so second down. You don't have a second down chance if enemies get through.
Right.
And I love the map that seems to be in everybody's head. They've been drilled, like you said, so much. It's just second nature. Second lieutenant went down. I'm filling in. That's the spot. Right. I got to be up here to protect. Leaders need to really need to keep on learning from that. My personal opinion for me is practice isn't that fun. Chaos is definitely a, you know, high blood pressure trigger. And you're like, okay, but we've been here before.
Yep.
That's what I think is fascinating. You talk about certain players that played sports. It didn't seem like a fast game, slowed down. They just let the game come and then they reacted. I think that's what the veterans have learned from the get-go, whether they were in boot camp, which I think is a really cool terminology, like, yep, so we're going to kind of strip you of what you think you are and build you up to what you thought you'd never be. And that's a bad tagline, but that's kind of what happens in boot camp.
Sure.
We don't have that in business as leaders.
No.
You know, we keep getting education, new certifications, we get new people, and yeah, you kind of just go through it all. But the locker room camaraderie, I know, I was at a game where they did the national anthem, which I think every game should have national anthem. But anyway, I digress. And you could see the guys, so they, you know, took their hat off that had been in the military, hand over, and you could see them go, still at 75 years old.
Yep.
Probably around the Vietnam era, maybe. Could be 80, might be Korean, but still, you know, just for sure Vietnam. And you're like, the song still gets them.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, what song gets us as leaders?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I don't have that meaning, but the depth for someone that served is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You've got stories where you saw people walk out their routines and something doesn't go right. And you're like, that was fantastic. You responded so well.
I've been blessed in several organizations that I've worked with to have some veterans working with me. And I love leaning into that training of what do we need to prepare for in the what if circumstances? You know, do you think this is ever going to happen? I don't know, but it might. So let's plan for that. But to watch them respond even in the moment and say, okay, here's what we need to do. Yeah. Let's just handle it this way. So hey, listen, I'd put a plug in every single day of the week. If you got an opening on your job, on your in your organization, put some veterans in there. They will serve you well in your organization to have those kind of people.
And they have gotten comfortable, I don't want to call it hierarchy, but layers, command points. So if their department manager said this, it isn't that they go, well, I know a better way to do it.
Right.
That's what my boss said to do, so we're going to do it. Let's go.
Yep.
And they don't try to assert themselves like second guessing.
Yep.
That's why they'd be awesome in your organizations. Yep. Just awesome. So, and potentially, you know, you kind of look at like, what do you guys make? We make gadgets or gadgets. Oh, that's no big deal. We used to have to, you know, transport grenades.
Right.
I don't think a gadget's like that. And so it's really not that big to them. Like,
right.
I know they want to do a great job, and you've seen veteran companies just do well.
Right.
But I wonder about communication in military, what we can learn from leaders, like for leaders for us. What do you think?
Well, one of the things that I find funny, so I've got a guy that I work with at our church that 20 plus year.
That's right.
Veteran. And,
peace out, Dan.
And he has some like acronyms, like in the military, you know, we called it this. And that always reminds me, you know, every organization has acronyms, has shorthand that everybody knows what it means. But one of the things in the military is they remind you all the time what that means, because you're always having new recruits come in. And so you have to tell them again, And I've learned from that, because there are in any organization, every organization will have its, and every industry will have its own shorthand, their own acronyms, their own, this, we use this phrase, but it means this. But we don't refresh that. We don't remind people of what that is, because I don't think we have the same new recruits coming in on a regular basis.
Right.
And after a while, it just becomes a slurred thing. Like, you're saying that phrase, you're saying that acronym, and we just assume everybody knows, and we don't take the time to say, no, we want everybody to know. So that's always been my reminder. Like, you know, sometimes you hear those little things that go out and you're like, what do those three letters mean again?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's, you know, let's break that down.
Let's talk about something bigger than themselves or ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's really what the military is, right? It's it's a cause, it's a purpose, it's something we're trying to accomplish, something we're trying to prevent. In business, it's, or any leadership role, it's like, what's the threat? And so I think I'd like to ask you that. What, for humanity, why is it so thrilling and fulfilling to be a part of something bigger than you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about, like, as we're recording this right now, we're not too far away from our country celebrating its 250th birthday.
Right.
That's big. I mean, that's there's no other nation that has operated under a constitution like we have in our country for that long.
Mm-hmm.
We have it because people sacrificed for it. For 250 years, they've been sacrificing for it. And I think that sometimes we, I see people want to throw in the towel on something after it doesn't work in a week. Like, okay, what did you expect to accomplish in a week that was that lasting? And I think that that's, you know, our veterans know that they're carrying on a 250 plus year heritage. Mm-hmm. And so they know that they're a part of that, and their role matters, their part matters to continue this on, to connect the past to what's going to happen in the future. And that's a lesson I think we can definitely take away from that and learn from that for our lives individually and organizations. It's something bigger. Maybe we're not going to fulfill the whole thing in our lifetime, but if I stop trying, if I stop being involved, I could have it fall apart in my lifetime.
one thing just to piggyback on that, Craig, is I think leaders want to be a part of something, but we don't have the endurance, the long view. In military, they don't know when the war is going to stop. They go until someone says
it's over,
it's over, or they retreated, or we took the castle, or whatever the rules were of that assignment, you know, or we took the beach, we Normandy, or whatever it is. I think for leaders, myself included, I have to have a gut check that it could be long play.
Yep,
this might be a longer battle than I was planning on. I might not be home for Christmas this year, and I think leaders probably can learn, just like myself, learn a lot from the veterans. That's why it's fun to go up to them. And I like just asking, did you serve somewhere?
Right.
And almost, I'm pretty high on it. You can kind of tell a little bit, you know, not the newer veterans, but, you know, the veterans who were, you know, certainly Korean, Vietnam, Gulf. It's the newer ones that are a little hard to pick because you don't know if they don't keep their hair cut short or whatever. But there's a certain style about their leadership, and I think that's something for us to wrestle with. There's a style of military leader that maybe we need to incorporate. Would you agree?
Yep. Well, and I think one of the styles that you hit on is you said, where do they serve?
Yeah.
We don't say that about our jobs. We say, I work here. Yes. We don't say, I serve here.
Right.
What would happen if we started treating our jobs that way? I get to serve here.
Ooh.
Instead of saying I have to work here. So that's one of the things I love. When we salute them, a lot of times we look at them, we say, thank you for your service.
I think it's fascinating. I don't know if they were trained to do it, probably, when they come back into society. So I'd be like, hey, thanks for serving. Thank you for your support.
Yes.
That's a heck of a line.
Yep.
I love that. Like, yep. If we had that as leaders, hey, I'm here to serve, and thank you for your support today.
Yep.
What would the staff do? Like,
right.
I don't know. I just think the serving and thank you for supporting us, it's like, well, you already gave. I can give you a compliment. Yep. And they just don't like it, do they?
I know.
They fight it.
They're still trying to be selfless.
Oh, it's just amazing.
Just receive the compliment from us, will you, please? Exactly. We just want to thank you. Well, you wrote something down. I'm going to let you wrap up with this. Yeah. I like the salute that you wrote down in our notes. Why don't you share that?
Well, to all veterans, thank you for bravely doing what you were called to do so that we can safely do what we're called to do. And our doing things is dwarfed, in my opinion, on what veterans do. And it's all the military lines. I kind of like it that we now talk about Coast Guard, you know, as the fifth military line. But I think they're answering the call, doing what they did, and many lost, or the loss, you know, if they're still around, they lost, you know, teammates. They lost fellow soldiers and the like. We don't have that cost. You know, our last quarter wasn't very good. Oh, well, we're still here, you know. But I do think thank you for letting us do what we do freely from what you did by sacrifice. And it's inspiring. So please, if you see a veteran or you think they're a veteran, take the risk. They'll be so complimented that you compliment them and say, thanks for serving. And be ready, because they'll say, thank you for your support. It's such an automatic answer for them. Like, I don't want the credit. And, well, you deserve more credit than I do. I just was a manager, you know. Yeah. I love your line. That's a really good one, serving versus work.
Yeah.
I've not thought of that, bud. That's awesome.
Yep.
I can't wait for November to celebrate vets. Yeah.
Well, it's coming up soon. Hey, so listen, I know we sometimes share some things that we do here, but let me just wrap up this episode by saying, here's what we'd like you to do. Find a veteran, tell them thank you for your service, not just on Veterans Day, but anytime that you see one of our veterans, please express to them your gratitude. That's what we're here to do, is to express our gratitude for the lessons that we've learned. I hope that you will do the same thing. Come back again. We've got more great content that'll be coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.